On the whole, that's by far the best meeting we've had. We had a lot of good substantive discussion. Some little sidebar things that I know when we set this up, we were thinking that that might be one of the things, but Jim, you might tell the president this little...
Well, after your session this morning, a thing that I talked about the meeting a little bit, but really hadn't gotten too much response. We got together at noon, and we just take himself and get two of the post top stands, get three top businessmen, and then he and our stands and I, at least complement of three each, will get together and work on freeing up some of these projects that are being held up by environmental considerations. Things that people, some of them need legislation, some of them need
to go
that's great. Hot tea, that's great. Hot or ice.
Hot.
And so we're going to do this with the idea of picking out these various different projects that have been held up. We got about $5 billion worth of them held up one way or another around the place, either in the agency or in Congress because of adverse environmental considerations. We go to work on them. But are they really that great? That's what Maury tells me.
I asked her Erwin about this. She said that's not true. What is the fact?
I'm not sure.
I don't know about the dollar amount. I know there's plenty of them. Let me ask her. Will you purchase that back?
I don't know.
I don't want any self-serving defensive arguments on it, but it's true. But by the way, Maury said it's over and over again. Erwin said it's not true. He said, well, or he said it's not true. Erwin's saying it along the line, but he said it.
I'll find out about that, and I'll also give you a little statement on what Jim and this group are going to do about it. Today. I'm sure there are some.
There's got to be some. Of course there are. There's some miserable. Well, the more I've got to listen to this thinking. I thought it was very important to try to do two things for this group. First of all, they're all the outcasts and dogs to each other. They first have got to get on the mountaintop and see the world as it's going to be and why, which of course is something that nobody has written. And that I've been saying three or four times in groups like this and all kinds of groups that the world is going to be, could be potentially, much less dangerous militarily and much more dangerous economically, but with much more opportunity. And then also saying that what we have to do though is to rather than bury our heads, which is going to be a great temptation, is to get out there and fight and get away. And finally, to get across the fact that we get away from this constant, pressing, solid, burnout, defensive thing that before the United States got here, we were afraid we're going to poison ourselves or we're going to kill ourselves or we'll build a nuclear power plant, maybe it'll explode. And we can't do this or that or the other thing. It's an attitude of mind. These guys, leaders, comes up with, you know, but you know, it's interesting, both the labor leader, we're talking about nuclear power. My dad has already done it. You know what I mean? That we're doing, but nevertheless, but they need to hear that. You know, they need to get a little bounce. Of course, Abel, I didn't want to respond to him. He was making this classic argument. Especially for the way this
the U.S. Steel Corporation, they get the business seat and run off and get to the point where it will make a settlement that, in a sense, they almost have to make. And at the same time, somehow, they've got to see that they're on the spot and they have to get bring something constructive out of this negotiation. But anyway, that'll... I take it your thought would be that you do want to have the chief executive officer come in and out their bargaining committee.
Yes.
So,
right, well, you could have the chief executive. The best thing, I think, really is to have the chief executive officer, but also you could have a bargaining guy on your side, one on your side, the chief negotiator.
Yeah, well, make a pretty good room for them, they can see.
Right.
I said, make a pretty good room for them.
Well, wait a minute, you mean all the companies?
Well, you have 9 companies, so you've got 9 there.
And you only have 1 union man?
No, they have their president and their chief vice presidents and their aides come to 5 altogether. Now, they would want to expand their numbers,
so they
and they don't know quite how to have the same as the management side, which would probably be around 13, because they'd want to bring their bargain. So we'll work that out. I've got all the guidance I
need. And give me a very good, precise talking paper, because I know these guys and you're on this track before. And we want us to do something that helps, and we want to make a record, and we want to put it out there pretty bad strong, or it isn't, or it will not, we will consider it just, you know, something.
Well, I think that you back with them tomorrow, and we'll make this announcement tomorrow afternoon.
Apart from what happens on the really wanted to stay through that. You just saw that. I'll do it. He wants, he's not worried about it.
The other...
It's great, he is. Governments.
The other is the general counsel, the NLRB.
Managers at the local government.
Yes, you asked me to be sure that the management people were checked on, which Jim has done. We've talked with Colson, you've talked with John Ehrlichman about it.
Now I know about it.
It was, and also you've been making some congressional contact on it, and why don't you report on that, Jim?
First of all, there is a word against him, but anyway, he's top choice in most, and anybody that he is top choice on, he's second choice. He's just that kind of a person. He comes out of a management law firm upstate New York. There's a kind of fraternity of these kind of people that if I call about 20 to 50, well, I can get the sentiment of the whole nation in no time. I've been doing that over the last weekend, and it will be a popular appointment. The problem that I have been concerned about more than anything else is that Dick Burris worked on the Hill with a lot of our friends in the Republican. He's a deserving Republican in their eyes.
Right, wants to get some.
And
that's
the way I look at it. Frankly, Dick Burris worked at Lockheed, and I did. I consider him a long-time acquaintance and friend. So this has been a very difficult thing for me to do, but I would have to tell you that...
You can't get the aisle of the Burris candidate.
I agree. I
was one of the items we're hoping to get the Senate bonus and pay structure, even if it's a lot, because that's more in conformance with the volunteer army notion. And the House, we're pushing pretty hard the extra money for the career officers tonight.
Yeah.
How that
what works. Position is the governor in Woodstock in on the SS meeting? Yes. Woodcock.
Woodcock.
Yeah, I was right. He was against
it. I think he was against it.
Yeah, he was. He, that's what I know. Just watch what Senator Mondale does. Woodcock, Mondale, that
is Mondale and Hartke takes his orders from Woodcock. Yeah. Absolutely, the UAW runs there.
By the way,
but
the good news is
Meany is just, he'll never forgive Humphrey. Never forgive him.
35,000 guys are, he could have to do that, he could double that number.
He's also,
at least we're effective in the rebel effect of the damn thing.
Meany is also ready to run Humphrey right out of town, or Muskie right out of town. He's so furious about it. This environment business. You just hit a sensitive chord with me. He's furious.
I was talking, and John Connolly chimed in with, I deliberately threw John in rather than Maury. I knew that Maury would hit. Getting Connolly hit it was good, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
So, John, I just talked to him. He talked to me about over the weekend, raised this point about $50 million in steam. I was thinking that enable wasn't a bad idea either. Well, it's really true, you know, we're all for the damn environment. We want, there is a, what do you call it, cost effect? You know,
cost effectiveness.
I don't know, how, whatever you weigh. Well, when you have a project, for example, a reclamation, what do you do? The cost, how do you?
I have a benefit cost ratio.
Well, it's a benefit cost ratio, so forth. So here you got the benefit, this is the way the benefit is to clean up the river. The cost is here. You've got to weigh it, the same is true of insecticide, the same is true. You make a powerful argument like the Nobel Prize winner. He said, well, he says, you can do without the he says, maybe 100 million people aren't going to eat. How much do you want to do? Let them starve? Or maybe risk a little poison?
I think a meeting like that, it's one of those situations, I think, where a lot of people think just what you said, but somehow it isn't proper to say it yet. And by bringing it out, it's not fashionable. By bringing it out and then suddenly finding, gee, here's this very diverse group of people, academic people, union people, business people, and they all have this feeling. And they start expressing it. Well, maybe then we'll begin to get some headway. I think it's one of those leadership things you have to do.
Extremely important, and in oversimplified terms, at a time, as we get into this enormous competitive situation in the next 25 years, at a time that the totalitarians turn our way, in other words, with the reward system, as you know, they've been turning our way for a long time, they're going to have to turn a hell of a lot more before they really get going. We should not turn their way, which, of course, gets back to the point there again, there is a line where the government, a line where the government should stop in terms of how much it takes, but also that it's the government should support. We must avoid this the government stepping in so many areas, and also appliance marriage would turn the other way. I really can imagine that cities can't be saved, really, without turning an awful lot of these things over to non-government actions. And yet I'm not sure that'll ever happen.
Well, but it's got to happen.
Take trash collection. Christ, it shouldn't be done with the government. Just shouldn't be done with the government.
And
you remember the big fight we had?
A lot of things in our social programs.
I know, but
a lot of our social programs are
you know that the... Yuri was against the private trash collection. The private, but he was wrong. He got elected on it. He won on it. He won the people on it because the private people were making all this profit. But on the other hand, they took this and they processed the cans and all the rest, and they did it better than the damn city of Louisville. Now it's costing the city more money.
Well, he won it on the basis of appealing to the housewife that she could put all her trash in one thing and get it picked up free.
I know.
Whether it was private or public, the housewife couldn't care less.
That's right.
But he did it this other time.
Very clever. And under the system, one thing and the other's in another thing. But on the other hand, it saved the taxpayers a hell of a lot of money to do it that way. So, and there we are. And of course, everybody who could follow that kind of risk of nodding, everybody who lives in New York has really got his dauber down about New York's capability of running itself, huh?
Risk, he does, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a very good player. Who was the Southerner at the end there?
Harley Grant.
Power
Head of something called the Southern Company.
Public
Utility. It's called the Southern Company. And he's a very strong supporter of yours.
He seemed to be very effective. I like what he talked.
He's retiring.
North Carolina, is he? Is he from North Carolina?
Georgia, I believe.
Harley Branch. Is he retiring?
He's retiring at the end of June, and he came around to say that if you wanted him to leave the commission for that reason, why he'd be glad to, but he sort of wants to stay on.
No. He hasn't felt very well in there to try to pull things together.
And he's our Southerner.
Our house Southerner. Our Southern strategy. Well, you think we'll have another meeting next fall or not?
Yes, I think the spirit was good, and I...
Oh, I think we'll
sort of, we have
we'll issue a statement.
This statement that's, doesn't years. Say all that much, except that, it says that these things are important, and that's worth saying.
Yeah.
And we'll get that agreed on.
The thing I do want you to do, though, before we get to California, George, is to go sit down with Pete Peterson. And I think probably he ought to be out there because of his enormous interest in this thing. You know, he's done a lot of thinking about this. Applied research did it, you know. And I know you are, John Erdman is, and the rest. But I just have a feeling, I have a feeling that there may be something there that we can grab. Something, you know, I don't worry about the money, I understand, but we can take the hell out of it. We can take something out of NASA. Of course, we should take it out of that, put it in the budget. But let's just do something about it. And also, if we do things in terms of certainly in terms of the tax program, if we do vote for anything to change the tax code, I think we have to do something fairly massive. I would see no reason why you shouldn't, if you have a bad event, have an extra percent, put $5 million into a new NASA. For what? For anything. You know, I think that in terms of the subsidy of applied research, right? Gosh, that SFC just makes me sick with me, doesn't it?
Well, you know what I think the idea that
maybe the water is saline water is something new. Maybe it's the nuclear power. Maybe. But there's a hell of a lot of things. And see, that's why I wish that your commission would come up with some specifics. Now, damn it, they must know. Let's pick five or six areas. Huh? I don't know. I think about one is there's a lot of talent to do this kind of thing you're talking about. And the second is the circumstance of the last couple of years has sort of turned off the technological community about us. This would bring them back on our team. Yeah, but NASA, for example, we're cutting them back. The defense fund cutbacks and cut off the technological community. And of course, the war. The other thing I was going to say, though, that if get five or six things, let's really see them. We've been talking to them, and I said, we to be. I said, now have you got some things? He says, oh, yes, I've got some. Well, all right, let's see what they are. You see, the trouble that both of you have got to realize is that almost everybody, like Woodcock comes up, everybody who punch a button, and they says, let's take all the space engineers and make them clean up the rivers, or the air, the environmental care. Damn it, that isn't it. That is not it, believe me. I understand, I think it's important, but I think the place that air is going to be cleaned up is in the automobile industry. I really think it's going to be done there. I mean, they're going to the emissions, so forth. The river thing and the rest, that's dope. We've all looked at it all over, and there's no easy way to clean up the river, is there? Connolly's right. You've got to cut off. You've got to stop your sewers going into there, and you've got to stop the farmers from irrigating and pouring the water into there, whatever they do. But what I'm getting at is that aren't there some other areas other than the environment where we can go for the new moonshot? Now we're going for it in the nuclear power plant. We're going for it in terms of the saline water. We're going for it. Japanese doing things. Were there plans?
I think there are, and I also think the notion of working out a type of tax arrangement that encourages private research efforts.
Yeah.
So that you get the diversity of the enterprise of many different things. And there was an idea brought out in the Productivity Commission discussion a couple of times now that I think might very well be a pretty good one on this. So,
no, but I, on this case, let me say that the department, my conventional conservative philosophy, this is one area where I believe where you've got the Germans and the Japanese, the Europeans, the Japanese, as well as the Russians and the Chinese, all in some varying degrees, some in the ultimate, and others in partial degrees, have a government subsidy in particular areas. Let's not back away from it. Let's do it. I mean, if in order to do something, let's do it. And I recoil at the idea of having a government subsidy if it's just going to mean that we're doing something that private enterprise ought to do. But this may be, George, this may be that we got to kick it off. Because let's face it, you know, it's really true. When you stop the man, how the hell would Lockheed get created? I know this is the testimony of the Lockheed president. They get us and then assume we
stuff, and we're kind of in a struggle with it.
But you know, the repro- put somebody on that all through the OPM, that they find things that we can read, that we can have, so we can talk about it a little. That can have an enormous effect on those who just philosophically are repelled by our huge budgets, by our growing government, by our welfare program, by our family assistance, and all the rest, all of which government should do. I recognize that. But if they're repelled by that, let's start showing that really, when we come down to it, in terms of what produces wealth, we know government doesn't produce a goddamn thing. And we prefer to do it through private enterprise, private institutions, private schools. Well, I see you tonight.
Well, that was a very, very worthwhile thing. I think it
worked people, and I think they may go back.
They might go back and do something, maybe.
They are important people.
Well, we have a little...
That was a powerful group.
It's very...
I got Edwin and Woodcock and Abel all in the same room. Joe Burns.
You get that...
That's a powerful group, and then, of course, Roach. And Branch, Ed Carter, head of the biggest bank in Carter.
Well, you get that group lined up behind a program on the necessity for certain kinds of research and the program to do something with it, and it's pretty damn irresistible.
Right. Well, what I'd like to do is to be able to say some things that are quite very soon, within a couple of months, that are quite exciting. I'm speaking now about the research thing. I just think that we've got to set some sort of a goal on that thing that goes very, very far.
So the thing that we could...
You know, I was just going to ask Rose about something we were talking about yesterday.
That just doesn't do it.
All right, I'm not calling her. Thanks, Rose.
The thing that we can push for, I think this is a good idea, is to have a larger conference of the type we talked about,
yeah,
say in mid-September sometime,
mm-hmm,
and use the Productivity Commission as a basis for it. We'll have a statement that they'll approve that's a general statement about the importance of this topic. We'll have a bunch of more detailed statements and studies which they won't approve, but which we can distribute, saying these have come out of the discussions